You guys are at the right session if you're thinking about nursing or are in nursing or... Yeah, so let's get a feel for the room. How many are currently nurses? Okay. What about nursing students? Okay, now I know who to talk to. other professions? Yes. Oh, thank you. We need you. We work alongside you, obviously. So thank you for joining us. Other professions? Anything else? Yes.
Firefighter.
Are you here to support us? Yes? Oh, well, that's important, too. All right. Other professions? Anything else? All right. Well, we're all part of the healthcare team. So a little bit about me, tiny bit. I worked at a children's hospital in Southern California for almost 25 years in the PICU, CVICU, caring for the sickest of the sick, ECMO tech, transport, all the things, and responded to all the codes. And then I started teaching full time, and I kind of shift focus to community, but keeping people out of the hospital is better. But you know, I'm still a peace person. But it doesn't ever go away. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. Hopefully, if you guys all have asked a few questions as we go, so feel free to join in when I've asked a few questions. And yeah, we'll get started. Prayer is always a good place to start, right? So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to be here at this conference and all the amazing moving parts and people that are volunteering to help this all come together. But Lord, we just want to be reminded, as we were in our plenary, that it's all about kingdom work. It's not about strategy per se, but that's just a tool to take the gospel wherever you would have us go. So we just thank you and praise you in all things. Everybody said, amen. All right. All right, putting this on you guys, why did you come to this session?
I'm a nurse, I'm on a mission, yep.
You're a nurse and you're on a mission and you want to be encouraged. Okay, awesome. What else? Other reasons for coming to listen to me go, blah, 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 blah. Okay, only nursing-specific session. Yeah, I've been pushing for that for a while. Yes?
I came last year, and you were really good.
I did think you looked familiar, so thank you very much. Yes, I did not pay him anything at all. So, what else? Any other reasons for coming to this session? Anything? We have I don't know if I want to call it the non-nursing people. We had one that came because of your spouse. Any other reasons for non-nursing? Yes?
We'd love to recruit nurses to our mission that would like to do education.
Okay, nurses that want to do education, go and see her after the session. Okay, great. So I teach now at a faith-based university in Southern California, so I get to take students overseas 2 to 3 times a year, so I'm really blessed in that. You'll notice I have lots of pictures. But this one is in Cambodia. Do you see the little sketchy kind of boat right there? And the fact that there's a van on it and we're going across the river? Yeah. So sometimes trust is being on mission, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. So what is your job description, especially nurses? Now, this could apply to all of you that are in healthcare professions. Show love, care, and compassion. As we live on mission, we're going to talk about what that looks like. Be the hands and feet of Jesus every single day, no matter where it is that God puts us. And as we were reminded in the plenary session, it isn't just about the physical. We sometimes in healthcare think only about the physical, but we have the spiritual, emotional, and other holistic aspect of care. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And so we'll talk about some holistic ways to do that. Isn't she cute?
Yes.
The peds nurse.
Can't help it.
All right, so we have to have learning objectives to have our fun little sessions here. So how do you provide evidence-based care in that God-honoring, loving, and compassionate way? how do we provide shalom? So we're going to talk a little bit, what does she mean about this whole shalom thing, which again is holistic care, but we'll go into a little more detail. And then we'll talk a little bit too about that servant leadership and what that looks like in our professions. Again, whether we're nurses or other healthcare providers. All right, another question for you. Can you tell I'm a professor? I'm not going to talk entirely for the whole time, right? Okay, what does it mean to be on mission? What do you guys think? What's that?
Taking opportunities before you.
Absolutely. What else?
Actually, that's a moment by moment thing. Every single day as you walk through your life.
Moment by moment as you walk through your life. Absolutely.
On a mission for Jesus.
On a mission for Jesus. It's all about Him. Right? What else? Any other thoughts?
To live with purpose.
It's not my purpose. His purpose. Yeah.
God is working in so many ways. He doesn't really need us to accomplish His goals, but instead that He has come for us and set things for us to do ahead of time, right? And so I think it's partnering with God and being attentive to the promptings of His Spirit as we are looking for the little places that He has set up for us throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be on mission with God.
So He doesn't need us to be on mission with us. However, He has prepared activities for us to do to be on mission with Him. Summarized pretty good for the lovely little camera that we're waving at. So yes, that is all part of being on mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're on mission." Okay, so we get to exactly what we were just talking about, participate with the Lord on His purpose. We are to be distinctive. We are a holy, set apart people. We are to declare His glory. That's the reason that we were created, right? And we are blessed to be a blessing. How many of you have taken the Perspectives class? Okay, a few. So in Perspectives, that focus is on what does that biblical mandate look like from Genesis all the way through to Revelation? And think about Abraham. He was pulled out of a polytheistic society and told to be a light to the nations, and he would be blessed among all the nations. There's another class that's very similar, and both of them have booths out there. The other one is Christian Global Health in Perspective. And that particular class, a little bit longer. No, wait, sorry. Perspectives is 15 weeks. The other class is 12. And that focuses on global health and what that looks like. So for those of you, maybe students or others, that are thinking about going somewhere else outside of the U.S., those might be some good opportunities for you to be prepared in that way, to think about that whole Bible really is a mandate for being on mission. Now, I will say we have Acts 1:8. We're given power by the Holy Spirit to work in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the ends of the earth, wherever it is that God puts us. For right now, that might be Jerusalem. That might be here in the U.S. Maybe a little further out from your hometown. But for some of you, that means ends of the earth. So in this room, how many of you have gone outside of the U.S., and where would that be? Oh, quite a few. All right, shout out some of the places you guys have been. Kenya, Israel,
Honduras,
Bali,
North Africa,
Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Papua New Guinea,
Haiti,
where else? Philippines, El Salvador,
Indonesia,
that's a lot of islands down there,
Guinea,
Thailand. Okay, see, we do this to connect. Okay, this is good. Connections are good. We're going to talk about living in community a little bit. Any other places that we haven't?
Senegal, India.
Scotland. All right.
Nepal.
Greece, Nepal.
Jordan.
Jordan.
Zambia.
Nice. Uganda. China. Ghana. Czech Republic.
Yeah. There was another one somewhere.
Lots of places, it looks like, right? So some of you may have gone for short term, maybe for long term, or going back there because you're just here for a little bit for the conference. But again, we live on mission and we live and get to participate in God's purpose and mission every single day. By the way, these slides are available as a PDF on the website. So if you want to look at that, you can grab those too. And then there's some other resources, at least one other one too. Another cutie. This is in Brazil. So community is really important when we think about what it is that we get to do. God is relational. We were created to be in right relationship with God and right relationship with others. That's one of the reasons COVID was so hard, right? We couldn't be in community. We're created to be in community. How many of you are introverts? Raise your hand. Yes, even you are meant to be in community. Now, we know that you like to recharge your batteries alone, but you also need community. I'm an introvert, too. You might not realize it, but yes. But we are called to be in covenant relationships. The Lord has allowed that for us. And think about the marginalized, those that are hurting and broken that we get to take care of. How many of you have taken care of a leprosy patient? Raise your hand. Anybody? No? How about an HIV patient? Okay. Let's talk a little bit about that briefly. When we think about marginalized and stigma and othering people, right? So when HIV, I'm old. I have grandkids. I'm blessed. And so when HIV first came to the U.S., people did not want to take care of those patients. It was their fault they were sick, and we don't know enough about this disease. Their tray, their food trays were often just put right outside their rooms, and nobody wanted to touch anything because they were afraid. Now, fast forward to COVID. Same type of thing happened, right? I don't want to don and doff because that takes too long, and I'm just going to, right? I don't want to go in that patient's room. I'm going to be in there forever, and it's hot and sweaty. So there were echoes. I have a friend that served in Uganda during the HIV crisis, and when COVID came along, she said, I've got PTSD. This is just the same. So, and the reason I ask about lepers is when we were in Uganda, that was a long time ago, but that was probably the first time I saw patients that were missing digits on their hands and feet. And that was from leprosy. So if you think that leprosy is gone, and we don't have that anymore from that illustration from Scripture, nope, it is still around. It is still prevalent. But we have those patients here that nobody wants to take care of. Right? Again, our Jerusalem, whatever that might look like. How many of you have heard the term, oh, there's a code brown in 35? So are we honoring people when we use words like that? When we say, oh, they're a frequent flyer? Maybe not. Because when we think about that poor patient that is in that room, they might not have any control over their bodily functions at that point in time. And if I can restore honor and dignity to that patient by even just cleaning them up, isn't that cool that I get to do that? So I'll give you an example. So I was in the hospital myself, and I had a roommate. There was two people in a room. And I was on some pain medicines, having some GI stuff going on. And the patient next to me got admitted, and then there was all this noise over there. She was over there by herself. And the next thing I know, I'm in the bed by the door, and I look around. She comes around the curtain, and she's like this.
And she went out the door.
She went out the door, and she was naked as a diaper. So I pushed the call button, and I said, my roommate has just walked out the door, and she's naked. And the nurses were so sweet. They got a bath blanket and they guided her back to her bed. They were honoring of that poor lady. Turns out she had soiled herself and she needed a sitter, and she wasn't with it entirely. She just knew she needed to get out of her soiled clothing and get out of there. Right? So when we think about the marginalized, and we think about stigma, and we think about the patients we get to take care of and be on mission every single day, that's what we're talking about too. Again, no matter where we are, we get to do that. So thinking about that locally, globally, all of the things, as my kids would say. So thinking about those that have taken the perspectives class, they really do focus on this, as both of the perspectives classes, thinking about that master narrative and that we get to be part of that. God doesn't need us, but he allows us and has provided us an opportunity to be part of that. So the whole narrative of the Bible is a story of his glory. There was creation, there was sin, he created that covenant with Abraham as he pulled him out of that polytheistic society where they worshipped all kinds of things, and that's, you know, the hotbed, if you will, right now, even with lots of different religions and things. We have that here in the U.S., right? All the different religions and things that are going on all around us. But people were called to be a blessing to the nations. I'm going to read Psalm 67, and you might listen for how many times the words people or peoples and nations are mentioned. Now, I'm reading NIV if you have a different version, but with stringed instruments, sorry, I don't have any stringed instruments, but it's a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways, that's God's ways, may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Do you notice that's plural? All the peoples. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. We get to be part of that. Again, no matter where it is that we're serving, we're heir to those promises as well. All right, another question. What do you guys see in this picture? So yes, we see someone embracing the culture by wearing the same clothing.
Absolutely.
What else? Touch. Very important. When appropriate. What else?
Teaching.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Compassion.
Absolutely, yeah. Meeting someone where they are, in their home. Absolutely. Now, for those of you that work in the ICU right now or want to work in the ICU in the future, and you're like, oh, no, that's just not fun. I like all the bells and whistles. I liked all the bells and whistles, too, for almost 25 years. But really being able to go into people's homes, that's holistic care. Now, we can do that in the ICUs as well. It's just a little more challenging. But, yes, so when we would take teams to India, I know that was mentioned earlier, excuse me, we would buy clothing that the locals would wear. It's a way of honoring them, but it was also a way of being modest. So in that culture, you know, Americans have a tendency to go overseas, and the girls especially, wearing spaghetti straps and little short shorts, especially if it's hot, and it's really hot in that part of town. Especially when you have 30 people crammed into a 10-by-10 room, which we did. But the prostitutes dressed that way. So we didn't want to do that. We wanted to be honoring of the society, and especially the slum areas that we were going into. So we dressed in the same clothing. I actually had a lady, so I would always wear my hair back, because in the areas we were going to, it was very traditional, and women wear their hair back, or they're considered loose women. And so my hair was always back, and I had a lady in one of the shops look me up and down, like literally look me up and down, and said, "You are dressed as a proper woman." So that wasn't my goal, necessarily, going to serve, But isn't it nice that that was recognized, that we made that effort? So in this home, yes, she's taking the blood pressure. Turns out the little mama is pregnant as well. She's sitting on the bed, which is basically just a pallet. And so she is showing that care and compassion, as was mentioned. But we can do that wherever we are. Here's another picture. This is from Northern Thailand. The gentleman, it's kind of hard to see. He's kind of facing everybody. But he is a double amputee. And he is not a believer. He's Buddhist. And we still go and visit him every single time we go to that area. I go about 2 to 3 times a year to that particular area. And he gets this big old smile on his face. We're not doing anything for him. We're just visiting him. And then afterward, and he's heard the gospel, he hasn't decided that he wants to follow Jesus, but we still ask him, can we pray for you? So sometimes we have that mindset that we can't pray for people that are a different faith tradition, but that's not the case. They often, especially when they're hurting, do want us to pray. Now maybe it might be like, I'll generalize, in some of the Hindu faith traditions, they have many deities and they're just going to add Jesus to the list, right? And maybe hedge their bets with prayer. But it really is honoring to do that with patients. Now, if you're not comfortable with that and you're working in a hospital setting, that's where your chaplain can come in and or have social work or someone else come in as well. But he's encouraged when we come in spite of his situation. So that ties into this idea of shalom. And in the Old Testament, health was seen as part of that personal relationship with God, and it was all connected. Things weren't separated. About the 1800s was when it came along that, you know, oh no, we have to separate mind and spiritual things and physical things have to be separated. Now, thankfully, in nursing, we don't usually do that, but sometimes there is this idea that that patient in room 5 is the kidney patient in room 5. Okay. No, that's a fellow image bearer of God who has inherent dignity and worth. And so if we really are providing in holistic care, which is what shalom means, if you look at the third bullet point down, peace, prosperity, rest, safety, security, justice, happiness, health, welfare, and wholeness, that's what the true meaning of shalom is. We'll often just use peace, but if you have peace, then you have some of those other aspects as well. So we can see in other areas around the world that perhaps they do a better job of providing holistic care. In the West, sometimes we forget that piece, and that patient is the kidney in room 5. No? That's a fellow image bearer of God who might have some other stuff going on that we perhaps can address in our care for them. So shalom also has to do with right relationship with God and right relationship with others. And so those harmonious, if you will, relationships that are so important. We think about peace. The word that's used in the New Testament is Irene, or Irene, depending on how you pronounce it. But that has the same meaning in the New Testament. So thinking about authentic, nurturing community. Do we do that as well as we could when we think about being on mission all the time? Now, we know, especially working in the ICU, man, I have to get my stuff done, right? I've got to get my meds in. You go in, you get a report, and 8 o'clock you do this, and 10 o'clock you do that, or every hour, depending on what titrating, not dopamine, or what have you. But there's a person in that bed, a fellow image bearer, God. Are we taking the time, thinking about Moses as he entered into that holy space with the burning bush? There's an aspect of that when we enter into a patient situation as well. It isn't just a task to get done. It is a person that may or may not have some family situations. Who's going to take care of their dog while they're in the hospital? You know, I didn't bring this up the last time, but what are two of the things that we take away from our patients when they come into the hospital setting?
Dignity.
Oh, that's another one too. Yeah, what else? Control, choices. Think practically too. Life.
Whole life.
Privacy. Yep. Absolutely.
Stuff. Where's the located on the wall.
Right. Where's the clock? And thinking about the whiteboard, we think that's ours. That's supposed to be for the patient, right? Shared goals. We take away their food. That can be really important to people. We take away their clothing. Talk about dignity. Oh, put this lovely gown on so it shows off your backside. Woo-hoo. Okay. So thinking about how do we provide holistic care in the midst of the current place wherever we're working, ICU, going into people's homes and community, whatever that might look like. My very gifted friend painted this. Can you guys tell what picture that is of?
The woman that touched Jesus' garment.
Yep, the woman that touched his garment that was bleeding for a very long time. So again, thinking about the Old Testament, healing, peace, and salvation go together. And in the New Testament, we're adding things like, okay, what's going on with sickness? And how does that patient even view their illness? So has anybody used henna storytelling when they've gone overseas for anything? Y'all describe lots of places you've been. So henna storytelling is a great tool. You literally draw stories on a person. We do this with women's health. So we're doing women's health teaching, but we're also telling a story. So it could be this story of the bleeding woman. And so we do that in henna, and there's different symbols, and there's resources online if you guys are interested. So we would do the henna storytelling, and guess what? They now have henna on their hands, and they'll go back and they'll tell their friends about the story that they just learned. Right? It's kind of fun. But we did that in this one slum area in India, and a lady came up afterwards and said, I'm not a bleeding woman. I've been bleeding for a really long time. Now what do we do? We're just in a community. We're not doing any health outreach other than education. What do you think we could do? Pray. Absolutely. We prayed over that lady. And then we came back stateside because that was a short-term assignment, and we found out she had been healed. That wasn't us. Now, that was us being obedient to the Holy Spirit saying, we don't got anything. We can't fix this, but we can pray. And we prayed in that instance, and that woman was healed. I told that story at another meeting, and a woman from the U.S. came up and said, that's my story, too. I've been prayed over and got healed. So we think about, in our Western context, that miracles don't happen, that the unseen world is like, oh, let's not talk about demons, let's not talk about the spiritual things. But there's so many ways that God speaks to people. He speaks to God, to people in visions and dreams, and miracles do happen. And so being open to that, even in our Western context, is really important, thinking about that. Again, no matter where you end up serving. And the class that I mentioned, the Christian Global Health and Perspective, focuses a lot on the unseen world as well. But when we think about how Jesus healed, that word that's used means to restore health and wholeness. And isn't that what we want for our patients? Now, we know that not every single patient will be healed in the way that we want. But let's talk a little bit more about that cross-cultural context. So here's a fun little clinic we were doing in India. Now we could spend a whole breakout session. Actually, we could spend a whole, bless you, semester. I teach a culture class, and we talk about this for a whole semester, thinking about how worldview affects people in their health. Can I challenge you and say every patient encounter is a cross-cultural encounter? Whether you're here in the U.S. or you're overseas somewhere. Because think about your own neighborhood. Does your neighbor have exactly the same values and beliefs that you do? Just because somebody looks like you, do they have the same values and beliefs that you might have? Maybe not. But their beliefs are going to inform their decision making. So if they think that they are sick because of a curse, because of something they did wrong in a past life, they are not going to adhere to that medical plan. Right? And then we say, oh, they're non-compliant. Okay,
So we've labeled them, but have we really figured out the why? Like, what is going on as to cause them to make that decision? So worldview really is important, and culture is part of that. It can be roles in the family, like who makes the decisions. There's so many pieces. Again, we could just have a whole semester of talking about cultures. That's why humility is so important. Being able to go into that cross-cultural context without judgment, without assuming that you know best. Here in the West, we have a tendency to what we call the savior complex, or those of you that are older might remember Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse, here I am to save the day, this literal little Superman mouse. You younger people have to Google that. But that isn't okay to have that mindset of here we are to save the day. We're not here to save the day. Jesus saves, as we've been talking. We have some tools in our toolbox that we get to use, that God's allowed us to use in that. So it really is important to think about that. So things like fatalism, that patient that feels like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm doing some research with some friends and colleagues in northern Mexico, and it's about childbearing practices. They go up into the hills to have their babies, quote unquote, like the goat, and the moms die. And they'll say, just like, well, if the baby's breached, like if the baby's coming out wrong, what happens? And the moms and dads both report, no, they die. In our mindset, we think, oh my gosh. But that's fatalism, and that's what drives some of our patients as well. Again, in the cross-cultural context, anybody? Time orientation. So we scheduled a time for our patients to come in at 2 o'clock, and they show up at
4.
That's right. Happened a lot in many places. We'd set up that health teaching, and they'd come rolling in maybe an hour or 2 hours later. And two of my grandkids are Espinosas, so Hispanic. And so we would go to the family things, and we'd be the early ones. The party's supposed to start at 2. People start rolling in at about 4 or later, right? That's a time orientation. So navigating that in healthcare can be a challenge. But if you're going overseas somewhere, we do talk about Africa time, Thailand time, China time, well, not as much in China. Some other locations, right? So Indian time. Mm-hmm. And then this idea of individualism versus collectivism. Who's going to make the decisions in that situation? Is it going to be up to us? We are really into autonomy here in the U.S. But think about the Bible. Think about families that came to know Jesus, came to faith. It wasn't necessarily just one person. In many cultures around the world, it's collectivism. And you can go and share the gospel with that one person, but if the whole family doesn't hear, they might not come to faith because it's a collective mindset. But that can also happen in our decision-making in our patient situation, too. This is just a quick snapshot of some of the worldview perspectives. So you guys are all trained in the biomedical worldview, right? There's a cause and effect. If I have a patient who's in CHF, what would be some meds that you would want to give to a patient in CHF?
Lasix,
absolutely, right? What do you expect to happen when you give that Lasix? We would like that patient to void and get rid of some of that extra fluid, right? That's the cause and effect mindset. That's the five senses, what I can see, taste, smell, all those fun things, right? In that mindset, perhaps there are no miracles in that mindset many times. Now, we in this room would have that perhaps training, but we also have the biblical worldview on the far side, right? Where God is infinite and holy, every person has been created in his image, much different mindset. We know that there's miracles. But think about in the middle, we have magical religious versus holistic. Think about what does that patient think caused their illness? If you have a patient that thinks that there's been some kind of a curse on them, they may or may not get better, and you wonder why. And sometimes we can't explain all those things, right? And then the other perspective of that yin and yang or balance, that's important. And if you get sick because your body's out of balance, or you ate cold foods when you should have been eating hot foods, right?
very prevalent in different places around the world. So understanding that context, wherever it is that you might be serving or going to serve, is really helpful. This is called the entry posture diagram, and it's about cultural humility and entering into this mindset of, I want to be open and transparent and learn, be a learner, that's important. So you want to stay in the green, which is toward the top of this chart. So open, accepting, adapting, and trust. You want to establish trust. Because otherwise, you're going to end up down in the red, which is coming into a cross-cultural context with suspicion and fear and some prejudice. We need to do a lot of self-reflection and just keep our biases, we all have them, at the door so that we can establish trust and rapport with our patients. Right? So that does mean sometimes asking a lot of questions to find out what's going on. And we heard at the plenary about fear. Fear, no, we don't need to live in fear. We need to step out in faith because God's equipped us with what we need. So being able to understand what's going on, respect people, do that self-reflection, it takes a little bit of work, but it's important. And then being able to respect that person in their worldview. Does that mean we, it makes me think about, so my kids, I have three grown kids, should I already have grandkids? They made bad choices along the way, some of them, right? I made bad choices too. I still love them, and there's consequences for some of the choices that they've made. It's very similar to people that have a different worldview. There's choices they've made that I don't agree with, and there might be some consequences, and I'm caring for those consequences potentially, but I can love them anyway, right? Because God loves me, has blessed me, I can bless them in that love and potentially be that light that we've been called to be. So again, thinking about the humility of Jesus, that monk picture a couple pictures ago, I don't know if you noticed, but all the monks were barefoot. So when you think about Jesus, when he put on that apron or towel around him and sat down and washed those feet of his disciples, those were some dirty feet. Very dirty feet. Having run around in many, many countries, in just my rainbow flip-flops, because I like my rainbows, you get some dirty feet, right? And it takes a while to get that dirt off. Thinking also about some of the cares that we do for our patients. We talked earlier about caring for patients. Do you know those fresh sheets feel really good? Something so simple as giving a patient a warm cloth. Or, again, if you're in their home, sitting down with them and just spending some time. Now, in the hospital setting, we know it's crazy busy, and yes, you have to get your meds done on time and all the cares and all the charting and all the things. But can you take a couple minutes just to be with that person and listen to that person, maybe find out their story, find out why they're not taking that medicine? Well, they're worried about their dog at home, and they have no family. Or whatever the story is. Okay? So understanding that is important. So it comes down to being on mission also, as was mentioned toward the beginning, respect, caring, and compassion. Those are huge and part of what we get to do with our profession. We have tools in our toolbox. Your training, those of you still in school, you're getting there. But we get to show that to all the people. This was in Uganda, and we did manis and pedis for the ladies. Now, this was the first time, I think, and I remember anyway, where I saw leprosy. This was where we started doing the manis and pedis, that they were missing digits on their hands and feet. Did we touch those ladies anyway? Absolutely. Right. So we had a fun little contraption. It was like this little square thing that was a foot massager. And so we'd clean them up, put them in, you know, their feet in the basins to clean them up. Those, again, some dirty feet because they run around barefoot too. And then we do the put them in a little massage thing. And they were so cute. They would say, this is like a motor car. And they're going like this. Oh, okay. I never would have put that together, but okay. But they just, we just have fun. And were we doing anything medical? Absolutely not. But we were loving those ladies. Now, we did end up at the end of the week giving them some food. We gave them some rice and some containers. You would have thought that we had given them the moon. They danced and sang, and they were so appreciative. But think about the patients you took care of here. Even those simple things can have so much meaning. Again, listening, taking time with our people that we are interacting with, that God has put in front of you for such a time as this. Just like Esther, she was in the right place, the right time. Okay. Now, some of you might go into areas that are chaotic or work in those chaotic areas like the ICU, or maybe you're headed, I heard Ukraine earlier, I heard Israel. There's some conflict, there's some stuff going on. There are some organizations out there that are going into those really hard places. But again, you can still maybe take that moment, that time, to be with them in that really hard time. There's the ladies on the far side. I know it's hard to see, but I think that little guy had never been in a basin, right? We were being creative because we didn't have, we thought, my colleague thought he needed a bath, so he got a little bath in the basin. He wasn't really sure about the Mzungu taking care of him at that moment, but it was just a bath. Again, those simple things sometimes have a lot of meaning. So when we think about what it is that we do, think about when Jesus came. He did touch the untouchables, and that was brand new. And that went into church. When we look back at church history, mission history, people were caring for the untouchables, the people with plague, the people that nobody else wanted to care for, that used to just die on the side of the road. And so we saw that as believers in the early days right after Jesus. And so that is really important. Now, this picture has some significance, and we were in the Northern Hill Tribe areas of Thailand, and this gal is the only believer in her village. And there were about 15 of us that went to visit her, and she was just blown away that we would come all the way. We literally went windy, windy, windy. You know, you need Meclizine or Dramamine or one of those things. At least I do. And you go windy, windy, windy up the hill to this little place, and then go trekking along to her home, and we could barely all fit in there. But she was honored by the fact that we came to that location, have nothing to do with healthcare, but we were holistically caring for her because we showed love to her. Right? She's a believer. She's the only believer in her village, the only one. And so for us to go there and pray with her and encourage her, yes, we brought her a few gifts. But it was presence. It was being with and being that light. And perhaps, who knows, that could be an influence in that particular village and more people will come. We know that in one of the other villages that we've gone to, there were a few believers in that area, and now those believers are going to the next village. And what you have to know is in that village, it's about 9 kilometers from a main road, and the road is about this wide. And so that means you either walk it or you are on a motorbike to get into that remote village. So the fact that now believers from that village are going to the next village that I've never been to and taking the gospel, that's cool. And it started with some eggs, literally. Now, when we think about our code of ethics, what drives us in our profession? Isn't it interesting that our secular organization says that the nurse practices with compassion and respect and inherent dignity and worth and uniqueness of each individual? Where did they get that? Pretty cool. One of my very favorite nurse friends in Thailand. So what do we do? What does that look like? Again, what I have to tell my students, how many of you are type A personality? I'm guessing it's more than that, but it's all good. Often you think, okay, I'm going to sign up and I'm going to go somewhere, whether it's short-term, maybe mid-term, maybe long-term. Maybe I'm going to try short-term first and then go from there. you want the schedule, right? Just like you do for studying, those of you still in school, right? What's going to be on the test? Yeah, well, sorry. We don't always get that. But we give you guys the schedule, and then when we get in the field, we go, sorry, not going to do that. You thought you were going to do this. It could look like balloon animals. I have maybe done some balloon animals in Russia and some other fun places. It's about being with people and showing them love. And sometimes it's VBS and balloon animals in the midst of the health lessons, right? So some of us were off, because I'm the peace person, guess where I end up? I often end up with the kids. And my colleagues are off doing the health lessons for the moms, right? So sometimes it might look a little different than what you think. So again, thinking about the whole person and caring for that whole person. Luke talks about this power and authority that we've been given, and that there are those spiritual and physical causes of illness and suffering. So again, this is in one of those northern Thailand communities. Is there just one patient there? Nope, there's a whole family there, right? So again, in some of these locations around the world, it might not just be that one patient that you're seeing, but the whole family comes in, and they all want their blood pressure checked or that kind of thing. Now, depending on where you are, and what that looks like, you want to be careful with, is there, like after we leave, especially for short term, is there a way to refer those patients to a higher level of care? Now, in this country, there is. In other countries, it might be a little bit more of a challenge. Blood pressure issues, huge. MSG and salt, all over the place. So they have wicked high blood pressures, and they have lots of strokes. And so knowing that, again, before you go is helpful. What's their norm? Are they already on meds? These are the type of locations where they'll come out with a baggie full of meds, and you're like, oh, goodness, okay, maybe we need to do some health education as well while we're here, right? That's rough. So it all comes back to this idea of ethics, morality, and integrity. What do those words bring to mind? Good and evil. Yeah. Right. What else?
Your heart, making sure you have
pure intentions. Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, was that a hand? No.
I was just going to say, how would you want to be treated?
How you want to be treated? Yes. And no? Okay. Sometimes y'all do weird stuff, and I think you're raising your hand, but it's all good. So, correct. C.S. Lewis is often attributed with the saying of doing the right thing when no one is watching. So are we doing the right thing when no one is watching? We have in nursing, we have our code of ethics, we have other rules that we abide by as health providers, whatever our profession might be. But are we doing the right thing when no one is watching? We're accountable to the Lord related to that. Right? So thinking about that in these different situations. Morality, what tells us what's right or wrong in our faith? God, right? We have the Bible. We have the written word. We have the Holy Spirit. So we know what's right or wrong. So let's talk a little bit about servant leadership. I told you we would get there eventually. So some of you might be familiar with this term. It's been around for a little while. Greenleaf talked about this and did some research in it back in the 1970s, before it looks like most of you were born. But the servant leader is first someone who wants to serve. So these are some of the components, if you will. And this is what one of the other resources that's on the webpage for you guys, more information about servant leadership, Christ-like leadership. So listening. That's number one. If we don't listen, how are we going to find out what's going on? So I think about the many times being a code blue responder is we get to the floor to get that kid, hopefully stabilize them so we can get into the ICU, but I would hear from the moms,
Nobody listened to me. I knew something was off and they didn't listen. That's not good. Right? We don't want that situation. We want to listen. And then if we're listening to people's stories about why they are or are not taking those medications, what do they think about illness and what caused the reason for them being in that situation right now, it's important to have empathy and think through that. So that servant leader, if you will, isn't about power. Do you guys know that you already, as healthcare providers, no matter what area you are in, you have power already? You have power, you have authority just by the fact that you have an education, and soon to be an education for those of you still in school. You come in with some power, some status. And in some cultures, that's really important. So being humble and being able to come in with that humility and establish that trust is all the more important. Because in many cultures, you come in as the authority and tell people, do this and do that. Well, if I'm really going to honor that person, I need to find out where they are first. And that's going to improve their outcomes along the way, if I can do that. So being able to steward what the Lord has given you. You guys, again, have all amazing gifts and talents, plus the tools in your toolbox of your discipline. So that's pretty important. But being able to build community and not take that power and use it in the wrong way. So being on mission, again, wherever your context is. We're in Thailand, again, in most of these pictures. We have someone who's a post-stroke patient in his bed. The gal up on the far right, if you're facing, has cancer. Turns out one of our field personnel also has cancer, so they're able to share stories. You know, that storytelling, we don't sometimes talk about stories. My story, you can't take away my story. And maybe my story is going to connect with that person's story. And that could be a bridge to the gospel, which is kind of cool to think about. We also taught CPR. Again, those of you that work in the ICU think, oh, well, that's way different. Yep. But it's going to maybe keep people out of the hospital. I'll tell you a story in Cambodia. We had taught CPR, and we were on a lake where people just live on boats. They're boat people. They have no nationality, no home, other than their boat. And so we taught CPR. Their culture, if a child falls into the water, they let them drown because in their mind, the spirit, it's a spiritual thing, and the spirit will take care of that child. So we taught CPR, and then we found out after we had left that one of the moms, her two-year-old, fell in the water, was drowning, but she pulled him out and did CPR. And so that was a huge cultural shift for them to not let the child stay in the water. So even something so simple, you think CPR, oh, that's easy, you know, and but then what's the higher level of care, and what cultural things are you crossing in that teaching that might have long-term impact? So we've been talking about head knowledge. What do you need to know to do this? Well, you start with prayer. No matter what, if you guys are thinking about going, there's great organizations over in the exhibit hall. They all have great resources to help you be prepared to go, whether it's going to be short-term, long-term, mid-term, whatever that looks like. So you have your academic training, you have cross-cultural information, find out about that culture if you're going to a specific location. And again, think outside the box, your schedule is going to get thrown away. You might be doing something different than you thought. And you need to have the right heart, and that ties back into that servant leadership, being able to count the cost and being willing to go anyway. This is a little shepherd boy in Tanzania. Their little kiddos go out and mind the goats and all the other creatures at a very young age. And so that is really hard for us, especially me as a peace nurse. Why isn't that kid in school? Right? So thinking through that, wherever you're headed, and not judging, because they need those goats to live. That's their food source. And again, being able to touch the untouchables, having those willing hands to hang out with the kiddos. Yes, I got to hang out with the kiddos again. Guess what I'm doing? VBS. It was fun.
So my pastor just talked about this last week, living in a manner worthy of the gospel, and that's right out of Philippians. We need to spread the gospel. We need to complete his mission. Of course, as we shared at the very beginning, he doesn't need us. We get to do that, and so that's cool. But we do have people that are dying without knowing who Jesus is. And so there is some time sensitivity to that as well. And it might be hard. You might have to count the cost a little bit. There's going to be some spiritual warfare. The flaming arrows sometimes feel like a trebuchet. Those of you that are young, maybe most of you, don't know what that is. It's this thing they used in medieval times. It was like a big old flaming balls of fire. Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes it feels more. But that's why Ephesians tells us to stand and put on that armor so that we can do whatever it is that God's put in front of us. Yeah, aren't they cute? That's Bangladesh. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Maybe that's you. Maybe you're finding out more about that. I love this quote by Evarts. I forget the name of his book. It's in my references. But there is something bothersome about Jesus. He's not content being my Savior, but also insists on being my Lord. He's not content with me knowing right answers about faith. He wants me to live by faith. He wants me to get caught up and involved in God's work. We have a couple minutes. Questions, comments? So how I got to this point? Well, you know Jonah, God told him go over there, and he went that way. Yeah, I did that first, for a long time, and didn't know how to go and serve. That's why those organizations out there are so important, because they can hook you up. I was going to join the Peace Corps, and then I got married, and then my husband has MS, and there's all these things that happened. And then I started being able to go and serve on short term. And then I was able to teach. I teach at California Baptist University. We send students overseas. I took the perspectives class. I co-authored the other perspectives class and really started learning about what is it that God has called us to be and do. And so being able to learn that has been a very interesting adventure, if you will. I've shared earlier that I teach a culture class in the undergrad nursing program, but I also teach in the doctorate and master's programs. And it's through all of that. I'm old, like I said. And so I've had lots of life experiences. I've run away from the Lord. So I'll give you an example. Bruce Wilkerson wrote the book, The Prayer of Jabez, and he had come to Biola University where I was doing some student teaching. And he said, "I'm taking some people to Africa." And I was like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, I want to go." And I was not a faculty at that time, so I couldn't go. And I thought, "Oh, Lord, I want to go to Africa. I want to go to Africa." Well, I did. I went to Kenya and Uganda. And then I was like, "Lord, I have no desire to go to Asia." Did you hear how many times I go to Thailand? About 2 to 3 times a year. And I've been to China and Cambodia and Indonesia and Bangladesh and India, all these other places. So the Lord has a sense of humor, right? And that's why I say, Jonah and I are like this some days. So in answer to your question, I think it's often just saying, "Okay, here am I, Lord. Send me. What is it that you want me to do? What can I do where you've put me?" I am blessed to work at a university where I can take students overseas a couple times a year. But I've also done lots of reading. If you look at my references, there's tons of books. So I did a lot of reading, did the perspectives class. I can be more than happy to share with you some of that. But that really did change my perspective, which is what the perspective course does. And then being able to go and do, which is the Evert book, also helped with that. So be happy to talk more. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about doing kingdom work wherever it is that God puts you. So, thanks, guys.